I'm here with cartoonist Mari Naomi, creator of the Life on Earth graphic novel series, including the final volume, Distant Stars, which is out this March, as well as multiple acclaimed graphic memoirs. My name is Greg Hunter. I'm the acquiring editor at Learner's Graphic Universe imprint and the editor on this series. Mari, Life on Earth is a story that unfolds across three books, and not only that, it involves some characters who are shrouded in mystery for some of that story. Readers will know them as the Claudias. And we get hints about their design and their purpose throughout the series, but it's only in the final volume of Life on Earth, Distant Stars, that readers get a fuller reveal. So I was wondering, knowing when to say what is a tricky thing for any storyteller, but it must be even trickier when you're working with mysterious elements. You know, you can't reconceal something once your reader learns it. So I wanted to ask about, you know, your process that way, the process of unfurling a story's mystery, in deciding what happens when, how important to you is a kind of design that you stick to, and how much is more a matter of instinct?
Well, I think from the beginning, I always knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. So I guess it was just a matter of how much I want to give away at any given point. I mean, obviously, I was a little nervous. You know, when you're working on a book, you get nervous. Am I doing this correctly? But it was very nice having you along for the ride, Greg.
Oh, thank you.
To help me and get other eyes on it, so I knew that I wasn't doing too much or too little. So I don't know. That was super helpful, but it was also really helpful when planning out the three books that I already knew what was going on. Maybe definitely intuitively knew, because it took a while for me to find words for it, for me to describe to you and others what was going on. But I knew what was, I knew that, well, I don't want to give away too much.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, the series is an ensemble story. You know, we have a whole group of young people who are all in the process of learning and growing, even healing in different ways. So I imagine, you know, in telling a story that also has those elements, you're always thinking somewhat about, you know, the larger journey of a character. But I also know that a story and characters can take on a life of their own once they get onto a page. So with Life on Earth and with Distant Stars, was there a character that surprised you the most throughout, you know, or anyone who wound up someplace other than your original idea for them?
Well, I feel like the only person who started out as kind of a mystery to me was Paula's character, because she was pretty much all but two of the characters in those books were based on people I knew. Some of them are a combination of multiple people I knew. Many of them I went to high school with, or that I saw throughout their teenage years and saw them grow. So it was easy to kind of envision their what would you call it, personality arc, or imagine that the one guy, Nigel, was based on a high school boyfriend of mine who maybe didn't grow the way that Nigel did, but I wanted him to, so I was able to manifest that in the novels. But with Paula, the seed for the books came out when I was sort of wrestling my way through figuring out a long-term relationship that I'd had with this woman who Paula is based off of, because we weren't speaking, I was unable to ask her, what were you thinking when you did this? So the whole series was just completely me trying to get into her head and find compassion for her after she'd done some kind of not great things to me earlier in our friendship. So I think after book one, it stopped being about the person that Paula was based upon, and Paula just got her own wings and went her own way. And I think that's what surprised me the most, was that she stopped being my friend and she started being her own character. And yes, I was able to find complete compassion for Paula, but but without actually finding compassion for my ex-friend. Uh-huh. Because it just turned into something completely different. That was surprising.
Have any of the real world models for these characters read the books? You know, I know like with the person you're not in contact with, like maybe not them, but anyone who's in your circle and sees themselves reflected in the books, is there any of that?
Well, interestingly, she's the only person who has read the books.
Oh, wow.
Because now we're in contact again, and I've sent them to her. I assume she's read them, but I've been sending her all my books. She hasn't specifically commented on these books yet.
Uh-huh. Is there a character from the series you'll miss the most?
I'm really fond of Nigel in a way that I wasn't so fond of the boyfriend he was based upon.
The way he matures in the books, I think, is a very clear process, and you do really feel for him throughout that process.
Oh, good. Yeah, he starts out as such an ass. but I felt affection for him from the beginning. Yeah, I really liked him. And I really liked Joe, who's very, very, very directly based upon someone that I know. In fact, I wrote a whole graphic memoir about this friendship that the person that she's based upon. So I don't really have to miss her because she's actually in real life.
That's cool. Oh, I think I know which book you're talking about then, but I never would have made that connection. That's funny.
Yeah, it's loosely based. It's obviously not her, but she looks like her and she talks like her, and a lot of the things she says would be something that my friend would say. So yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not far away from the book enough yet, so I feel like those characters are still kind of alive.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I'll miss them soon.
Now, one of the things I love about these books, in addition to your attention to character, is the willingness to get weird. You know, we're a year removed from the release of book 2 now, where readers first really see this. But I think I can safely say, you know, that there are moments when we see the story through the eyes of someone with a point of view that's not necessarily human, not necessarily of this world. And your cartooning in those pages is genuinely strange and surreal. You know, they're adventurous pages. And for me, I think that can be essential in tackling weird subject matter. You know, there's nothing worse than someone taking the alien or the supernatural and then drawing it in a way that feels really codified and familiar. So I was wondering if you could talk a bit about how you approach those sections, since they aren't, you know, naturalistic scenes. You don't have the obligation to depict, you know, background details or movement in the usual way. And without those things to kind of anchor the page, how do you decide what you want out of a given page in the more surreal sections?
Well, it's funny that you say that book 2 gets really weird. I suppose it does, but I feel like story-wise, the way I was telling the narrative, I felt like book 1 was a lot weirder. And then in book 2 and book 3, because some of the visuals get pretty bizarre, I dialed back the weirdness narratively.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I felt. I'm not sure if that's how other people felt. But that, as I was creating it, I felt like I was telling a more simple story, but with vivid, unusual details. When I was drawing, I'm assuming you're talking about the Claudia
yes, section. Yes, the Claudia sections.
That at first, I mean, it took a while for me to figure out how I wanted that to look. Like, there was a lot of trial and error. I can't remember if I ended up sending you any of the pages to say, well, do you think of this or what do you think of that? But I was definitely drawing a lot of pages that didn't end up in the book, just because I was not sure what, you know, how much is on her radar, when she's looking out through her eyeballs. Mm-hmm. What is she seeing? Is she hyper focused, or is she aware of all these other things going around? And if so, like, how would that look? So there was a lot of trial and error. I feel like I was also working in a new medium, which was specifically these color pencils. So I was also having some trial and error with that. I couldn't erase anything, mm-hmm. which I didn't realize with color pencils. Like, you can't do that. And it was on graph paper and other like odd, fun papers that I'd found. And I was having so much fun with it, I have to say. Like, that was just super, super fun. And then once I kind of nailed, I just kept trying new things. And once I nailed it, where I could put my finger and go, yeah, that's what, how she sees the world. Then it just all flowed right out of me. It was amazing. It was such a great feeling.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think, you know, those pages are that level of, you know, experimentation, for lack of a better word, is something you don't see a ton of to that degree in young adult graphic novels. But I also think one of the advantages of creating work for younger readers is a lot of the time your readers are just, you know, more willing to say yes to something, more willing to kind of go with the flow of a book, even if the work is surprising or not what they're used to. I was wondering, you know, not even necessarily about the Claudia pages, but in general, if there have been any reactions from, you know, teenage readers that took you by surprise or you found encouraging.
Honestly, I haven't heard anything from teenagers aside from secondhand. So it's strange as an author what ends up coming to you. You either you get the occasional fan letter or email or people talking about you online, that where they at you on Twitter or whatnot. It's very few and far between, and especially with teenagers for me, because I'm not really in the spot, like in the place that teenagers are. I don't mm-hmm. think they're on Facebook and I don't see a lot of them on Twitter. And I wasn't sure how, especially after the first book came out, I wasn't sure how it was doing. The only things I really saw was Goodreads, but that was definitely more of adults, like the gatekeepers. I saw a lot of like children's librarians. And it seemed like the book was a little too weird for them. So I was a little despondent at first, thinking, oh, okay, this book isn't gonna do well. And it wasn't until I did a couple events. There was one, I believe it was at the Bronx library, where I was working with these kids. They all thought it was really cool. I was really excited about that. And then the more librarians I spoke to in person and not reading their Goodreads reviews, they were all telling me that they couldn't keep the books on the shelves.
And that's awesome.
Really exciting for me. And that's my whole attitude turned over when I heard that.
That's sort of an object lesson, and you know, you can't take social media as your whole world, I think, either, because there are sort of, seems like, these kind of generational silos almost from
between
the platforms.
It was a good lesson, definitely, and I've heard good things, but it always comes through odd sources. Like I'll never hear directly from people, but I'll hear, oh, my daughter loved your book. And that's great. I'll take it however I can get it.
All right, my last question for you is, there's a real spirit of empathy in the Life on Earth books, you know, and in Distant Stars especially, you know, throughout the trilogy, when a plot line resolves or a character's arc really peaks, you know, what we tend to see is that character learning to better understand the people around them. So I was wondering, in your own life, what have you found most helpful in maintaining that sort of mindset? You know, is empathy's a complex enough thing that I don't know if there are life hacks for it exactly. But I was curious what you'd say to someone, you know, the age of these characters, especially if they're out to, you know, just lead an empathetic life.
I feel I've been obsessed with empathy and compassion, especially, for a very, very long time. My book, Dragon's Breath and Other True Stories, it's a memoir from years ago. I feel like that was the primary focus. I feel like whenever I'm reading a book or telling a story, that's always the objective, is to give compassion, empathy, not make you necessarily like the person, but that you could see the world through their eyes. And this whole series specifically was so that I could get more empathy and share it.
Thank you for joining us here on the Learner Podcast. Tune in again next time for more author interviews and the stories behind the books.